Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
This is the birthday of the church. That's what I've just read to you. That's where the church was born. The church did not exist in the Old Testament. It was the nation of Israel. It was Zion in the Old Testament. The church did not even exist when Christ was on this earth for 3.5 years. Everything he said about the church was prophetic. It was future tense. This was the beginning of the church. This is how the church began, with a rushing mighty wind and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so today, many churches no longer embrace the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why the church is anemic. And as the church goes, so goes this nation. A weak church is responsible for all the problems that we have in America. You may be seated. Pentecost through the ages. Let me explain to you what Pentecost means. The name comes from the Greek word Pentecost, which means 50th. It wasn't used in the Old Testament. The holiday is celebrated on the 7th Sunday after Easter, which is also 50 days after Easter, hence the name. The word Pentecost means 50th. In the Old Testament, it was not called Pentecost. It was called a feast day. It was called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. It's mentioned in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in five places. Exodus twice, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This festival is known by several names that derive from its meaning and its time. But it was of the Feast of Harvest. The Feast of Harvest was the greatest harvest and the greatest feast day of the Old Testament. So the Feast of Harvest, what does that mean? That means that they had labored for months, planted their crops, tended them, but now they had harvested them and they were able to take them to the market and get paid for them. It's like you getting an income tax refund. It's like you getting a raise. It's like you getting an annual bonus. It's like you getting paid on Friday. It was their harvest time, and it was called Pentecost. And so God chose that time for it to be his birthday of his church, for his church to be born, because Jerusalem would be filled with people with money in their pockets that had come to celebrate the Feast of Harvest or Pentecost. That's when God chose it. But let's look for a few moments of Pentecost in the Old Testament. There's a desperation in the Old Testament for people to know God in an intimate way. If you're in this building today and you are filled with God's Spirit, I don't mean you've just accepted Christ and you believe the tenets of the gospel. I mean you've had your personal Pentecost. You have been filled with God's Spirit. You are a unique individual. You have a relationship with God that many people don't have. We don't know how many people are truly filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the world today. The estimates range from 500 million to 1 billion. I'm not sure that it's that high. From the Christians I meet, many of them are not Spirit-filled. They're good people, and they have some faith in Christ, but they're not filled with God's Spirit. The Bible said about Christ that the Spirit was given to him without measure. That's what the Holy Spirit is. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it's not just what you receive at that moment. It's an opening of a portal. That's the reason why it's likened as a river, because it's always coming in. And it infuses you. And that's the reason why you learn to pray in the Spirit and speak in the Spirit and operate in the Spirit. It is a refreshing. It's a new experience every day. It's not stagnant. It's not stale. It's not something that is left over from a time. It's fresh and new every morning. But the Old Testament people of God, Israel, Zion, were not privileged to the experience that you and I have. The Bible describes it this way in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 11. There is a crying for wine. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the new wine. That's the reason why Christians should not be alcoholics or drunkards or drink alcohol, because it is really a replacement for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be an infusion of new wine in your life. Everything that drink does for you is supposed to be done by the Holy Spirit. To take away your worries, to take away your cares, to make you carefree, to make you joyful, to make you happy. And so this is the scripture that is prophetic in the Old Testament about Pentecost, or the experience of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 24:11. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. The city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. That's a description of people that have not yet known Christ, that have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a darkening. Their mirth is gone. They're in desolation. They're smitten with destruction. The New Testament refers to that experience that is prophetically addressed here as the Holy Spirit or the new wine. Isaiah, in Isaiah 28, prophesied that this is going to happen. For with a stammering lip and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Isaiah prophesied, there's going to come a day when you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just going to be on you. It's not going to lead you as a nation. It's going to be an individual, personal experience. And he said the evidence will be what? A stammering lip and another tongue. Joel, the minor prophet, prophesied about it in the Old Testament. He said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit. That's where we are today, in the last days. The Bible teaches there will be an intensity of the attack of the devil in the last days. Revelation 12. If there is to be an intensity of the devil's attack, there's surely going to be an intensity of God's Spirit. And that's what Joel was prophesying about when he said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. You're just as a small boy. I was introduced to the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing because we just had little small churches. But I can remember what they call the charismatic renewal started in America. And I remember in South Bend, Indiana, at the great Catholic College, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that had never been done before in the Catholic Church. And so there was a charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church. This is a part of God's scripture being fulfilled when he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It used to be that the only people that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit were the people that called themselves Pentecostal or Assembly of God. It's all of Pentecost. Assembly of God is the fastest growing Christian denomination in the world today still. But then all of a sudden it began to spill over into denominations. First into the Catholic Church, then into the Baptist Church and all Presbyterian. What is this? This is a fulfillment of God's prophecy. As we near the end, God is going to pour out the Spirit without limit upon all flesh, and whosoever wants to can receive this experience. Let's talk about Pentecost, not in the Old Testament. Let's talk about it in Jesus' time. Jesus lived or ministered 3.5 years. He lived 33.5 years on this earth, but he had a ministry for 3.5 years. And this 3.5 years of ministry was peppered with Christ talking about what was going to happen. I've always thought it was awesome that Christ would say, greater works than these shall you do, when he was performing miracles. The only way he could say that, he knew that the Holy Spirit was going to be fulfilled. Jesus said, I must go away, but if I go away, I will send another comforter. He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says it this way. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. The only time Jesus stood and cried, he did that twice in the Bible. The first time that he did it, he was talking about the advent of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, about what was going to happen. That's the verse that I've just read with you, and I'm going to share you the next verse. But when Jesus began to talk about people receiving the Holy Spirit, he stood and cried with a loud voice. That's the first time he ever did that. It's ever recorded in the Bible. Because he was so excited that people were going to receive that same Spirit that he had been that he had received without measure. It was going to happen to you and to me. And so Jesus was excited. The only other time that Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice, or at least he cried with a loud voice, is when he was hanging on the cross. And the Bible said he looked at those that were crucifying him, and he cried with a loud voice and said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Those are the only two times that Christ cried with a loud voice. In other words, the only time that Christ cried with a loud voice is when he was talking about people being forgiven and when he was talking about people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Those are the two most important things in your life. When you are forgiven of your sins and when you're filled with God's Spirit, I promise you, you will be born again. You will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. You will not even recognize yourself. Your desires will change. And you will say, "What has happened to me?" And so he stood, and on the great day of the feast, he stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink." I love this verse. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Let me explain to you about preaching. Preaching is not a perfect science. You get thoughts, you can have notes of what you're going to preach about. But if the Holy Spirit does not anoint you, it does not accomplish what you want it to. This verse that I just read to you, "He that believeth on me, he that believeth on Christ, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I can't tell you how many times that I've preached on that verse. But one time and one time only did I do it justice. Pastor Brandon was a young boy. He was with me and I was preaching in Ohio. And I preached on that verse. And God so anointed me that the Holy Spirit fell in that building. And over 200 people got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not at an altar. I mean all over the building. They were standing and receiving the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Brandon said at that time as a young boy, he said, "Dad, I've never seen a service like that." I said, "Son, I've never seen a service like that. And I've been preaching many years. This is an amazing verse. He that believeth on Christ, as the scripture hath said." That's the key. Believing on Christ, as the scripture has said, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." What is the key to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, in Pentecostal services, they come to the altar and have what they call tarrying services. That's where they beg God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. There's not one scripture in the Bible that says you have to beg God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Adversely, Christ said, "If you will ask the Father in my name, he will fill you with the Holy Spirit quicker than a father will give bread to a hungry son." What is the key to being filled with the Holy Spirit? It's believing on Jesus Christ as the Scripture has said. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? It said there was not anything that was made that was not made by Christ. It recognizes Christ as the Creator. It tells us that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. It tells us that he is the expressed image of the invisible God. It tells us he is the Prince of Peace. It tells us he is our baptizer. It tells us he is our waymaker. It tells us that he is the expression of God's love. It tells us that it is joy unspeakable. It tells us he is the bread that comes down from heaven. It tells us that he is the door, that he is the way and the truth. You cannot exaggerate the attributes of Christ. He is all and all. He is the capsule of God. He's the only God you will ever see. You know how many thrones there are in heaven? There is one, and Jesus Christ sits on that throne. Because the Father is an invisible spirit. The only God you will ever see is Jesus Christ. The Spirit is invisible. All of God could not exist in a human being, but Christ was filled with God to the limit. to his limit of physical capacity. He is that God. He gave his life for you. While you were yet a sinner, he loved you. When he hung on that cross, you were on his mind. He knew you before you were ever conceived. He is almighty. He is infinite in wisdom. He is omnipresent in dwelling. He's in this room right now. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to believe on Christ as the Scripture has said. And Jesus came prophesying about the Holy Spirit. He breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." They did not receive it at that moment. They would receive it at the birthday of the church. It was prophetic what was going to happen to them. I'll tell you what's wrong with America. It didn't happen. The deterioration of America did not happen in the White House. It did not happen in the State House. It did not happen in the schoolhouse. It happened in the church house. When we eliminated God's Spirit from the church and we become a religious group of people instead of a spiritual group of people, that's when America began to deteriorate. The only hope for America again is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must come to God's church. We cannot be about rules and regulations. The kingdom of God is not about meat and drink. It's about righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I beseech those that know Christ, those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are the fire. This world is a dry pile of kindling, but you are the flame. You are the match. If this world's going to burn again with the Holy Spirit, it will have to start with somebody that is Spirit-filled. Somebody that says, "Wait just a minute. I am not like I used to be. I am not normal. I am abnormal. I am baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that was in Christ is in me." Do you really believe that? Do you look in the mirror and say the same Spirit that was in Christ is in me? Or do you let the flesh and the devil condemn you and say you're a hypocrite? You're not what you ought to be. You're pitiful. Do you listen to that voice of flesh and the devil? Or do you say Christ said greater is me than he that is in me than he that is in the world? I am the key for the salvation of America. I am the flame. When we see these great fires they have in California that destroy millions and millions of dollars worth of property, those people that study those things, they trace that back, and it's phenomenal what they can do. But they will find the origination of where that happened. Occasionally it's lightning, but usually it is an unattended campfire. It's somebody that throws away a cigarette butt. Or worse yet, it is somebody that is an arsonist that strikes a match. It starts from just one little match, one little cigarette bill. And the next thing we know, it's thousands of acres and it's on our news. It started with one little match. If that can happen physically, you need to understand the power you've got. You say, "I'm just one person," but you're one person on fire. And there is a world that is dry. There's a kindling pile that is waiting. They're waiting on you to set your school on fire, your job on fire, your neighborhood on fire. Yes, even your church on fire. I preached in one of the deadest churches I've ever preached in North Louisiana. But there was a kid the week before. He had been in a camp that I'd preached. He was 18 years of age, and he had got gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit. We could not keep that kid in his seat. A friend of mine preached in that same church before I got there for 5 solid weeks. Not one person came to Christ. And he told me, he said, "Steve, don't waste your time. Go in there. Nothing will happen." But what he didn't have was he didn't have an 18-year-old kid on fire, because that boy was on fire. You couldn't keep him on his seat. He praised God. He brought other teenagers with him. And the last night that I was in that church, we baptized, just a small church of 150 people. But that last night, we baptized 54 people in water in the name of Christ. Why? Because one kid set it on fire. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Spirit-filled church. Jesus talked about it. The Holy Ghost Ghost was not yet available as long as Christ walked on this earth. But he said, if I go away, I'll send another comforter. We have that comforter. Jesus wept three times. Three times Jesus cried in the Bible, but he only cried with a loud voice twice. Twice Jesus cried, and Jesus today is saying, I want my church to be forgiven, and I want them to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Intellectual believing doesn't produce the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Believing on Jesus, as the Scripture has said, will produce the power of the Holy Spirit. Believe that there is no limit to Christ's power. He is almighty. He is able to save to the uttermost. Don't give up on America. God's not giving up on America. When Christ died on that cross, he could not find one person that was staying with him. But the Spirit is within him said, I'm going to die because a resurrection is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a resurrection coming to your family. There's a resurrection coming to your church. There's a resurrection coming to your city. There's a resurrection coming to your nation. There's a resurrection coming to your generation. There's a resurrection coming to our world, and it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not near through. I know next Sunday won't be Pentecost Sunday as far as the church is concerned worldwide, but it will be here because every Sunday and every day is Pentecost Sunday for us. So I might conclude this next Sunday because I'm not nearly finished. But I want to tell you that God's Spirit is phenomenal. Let me tell you how this church began. When we began this church years ago, now 48 years ago, we were in a little building, a real small building. It was on a Wednesday night, maybe 35 people in that Wednesday night service, not many. And as we were having service, I remember it was bad weather. It was cold. It was in the wintertime. It was cold. 35 people in that little building down on Ridgewood Street off of Hildebrand and Blanco. Service had already begun when a Hispanic girl, probably 5'8", 5'9", tall, beautiful, walked in and sat on the back seat. And all the time I preached, she wept. She just sat on the back seat and cried. And when I gave that invitation to come to that little group of 35 people, all of them were already saved. She got up and made her way to that altar. It didn't take her 5 minutes till she had cried her way through to repentance. And when I laid my hand on her, she was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, just like they were in the Bible. She went the next day back to her job. She worked with 10 secretaries in a secretarial pool within a matter of just a few days. On the job, in the office, on the lunch hour, she had personally prayed with each of those 10 secretaries, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. She went home to her mother and told her what happened to her. And she said, Elizabeth, that's of the devil. And she said, I want you to denounce it right now or don't ever come back to our home again. You were baptized into Catholic Church and you are in something that is the devil. Don't ever come back. And so she was totally banned from her mother's house. After several weeks, her mother called her one day and said, Elizabeth, I want you to come home. She came home. She said, get in the car, Elizabeth. I said, where are we going, mother? She said, your daddy was a great Catholic. He was a personal friend of Father so-and-so. Father so-and-so baptized you when you were a baby. And I want you to go with me because I'm going to take you to the Father. And he is going to exorcise this demon out of you. So they went to the Catholic Church to meet the Father. The Father told Elizabeth's mother, said, you stay here in the outer office. Elizabeth, I'm going to go in and we'll talk to her. Sat down and he said, Elizabeth, tell me about it. Elizabeth said, I don't know about the Bible much, Father. I can only tell you what happened to me. She said, I was so depressed. I was suicidal. I was thinking of, and I went to that little church, and she said, the power of joy, the power of love just came on me, Father. I spoke in a new language. Father, I'm sorry if it offends you. father said, Elizabeth, I've been a priest a long time, and I've always wondered about the Holy Spirit. Would you get up, come around this desk, and lay your hands on me and pray that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit? Elizabeth, just newly baptized in the Holy Spirit herself, laid her hands on that priest, and God gloriously baptized him with the Holy Spirit. I had the opportunity to meet with him. He went to the outer office, and he said to her, said, don't ever speak against what Elizabeth has. Said, it is the genuine fulfillment of the scripture that happened in the Bible, and it's for everybody. And he said, I just received it in the office myself, and we want you to receive it. And then they prayed her mother through to the Holy Spirit. The last time I heard from Elizabeth many years ago, I got a telegram. It's the only telegram I ever got in my life. And it said, happy birthday, Pastor. That's all it said. She was in Canada, still filled with God's Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that there is hope for America. But the hope for America is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can penetrate every denomination. It can combat every demon. It can change every heart. It can lay at the feet of enmity everything that is wrong and turn it and convert it to peace. There is nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why the Bible warns against speaking anything or any ill about the Holy Spirit and calls it the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is God's greatest agency, and God has not given up on this world. You say, oh, well, it's bad, and get it. I just gave up. Well, you're not God. And God has not given up on this earth. And you know how I know he hasn't given up? Because we're still here. When God gives up on this earth, there will be a catching away. As long as God's got his church on this earth, he's not giving up. I tell you that the Holy Spirit is moving in America. It's moving around the world, and you ain't seen nothing yet. That God needs you to be a fire. God needs you to pray through. God needs you to be baptized. God needs you to receive this Holy Spirit. You say, I can't do it. Oh, I cannot do anything by myself, but I can do everything through Christ which strengthened me. Stand on your feet right now. Right now. Stand on your feet. I'm going to ask everybody in this building, if you're Catholic, if you're Pentecostal, if you're Presbyterian, if you're Episcopalian, I don't care what you are, I want you to lift both hands to the Lord. And I want you to pray this simple prayer. Father, send the Holy Spirit to me, my family, my friends, my sphere of influence, to my world. Let the Holy Spirit fall like rain. Pour out the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let it begin right now. Right now. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody in this building right now that wants to be renewed in God's Holy Spirit? This altar is open for you. Somebody that has never received the experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, this experience is for you. Those of you that have the Holy Spirit, but you want the little fire to become a wildfire. You want it to affect hundreds and thousands of people in your life. I challenge you to come to this altar right now and say, God, let my fire get out of control.